Thank you so much for joining us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by positivity expert, Dr. Daphne Scott. And I want to thank Karen for calling and asking us for Dr. Daphne to give me a hug.
I did.
And he did, because a lot of rage. I got a lot of rage going on. But you know who doesn't need a hug? I doubt that Black Widow has ever needed a hug. And yet, somehow, this badass super... Well, now, we have Donna Dixon from HitFix on the line with us. Hey, Donna, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing? I'm good.
I'm good too. Is she now? Do we consider Black Widow to be a superhero? Because do superheroes by nature have to have superpowers? Because she is a human being who is expertly trained in fighting and basically assassination skills, right?
Yes. It's a little bit gray right now as to whether or not she is completely human. Did you guys watch Agent Carter at all?
I did.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you know the whole Red Room Academy situation.
Where they're handcuffed to their beds.
Yes, and they are training these little girls to be assassins. Black Widow comes from that same academy.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if they're trying to imply that Russia was competing with the Super Soldier Serum program that Captain America had with their girls in Russia, because she's able to keep up with the boys completely. Without her, they would pretty much fall apart in the first Avenger. She's the one that shuts down the Tesseract. She's the one that is like, throw me onto a Chitauri, you know, moving vehicle. She goes toe to toe. So if she's human, she's the most resilient person on the face of the earth.
Right. I mean, like, ridiculously good eye-hand coordination to be able to be thrown and land on something that's moving, right?
A lot like me.
Yeah, there you go. So presumably, let's say that she is of, and either way, even if she is a human who with super skills, she still, you would think, would warrant an action figure.
Yeah, some representation.
Oh, definitely, especially since she is. Until now, we have Scarlet Witch coming onto the scene, but until now, she has been the only woman that we have. She's the only female on the team, unless you count Maria Hill, but she's third string,
right?
Like, hang out.
Yeah. Those third stringers had to wait their turn because even our first stringers are not getting their play in the toy stores.
They don't even have their own plastic mold.
Mm-mm.
No.
So, and now, has there been any word as to any sort of justification, any defense for not having a Black Widow action figure?
Now, it's interesting because certain places will have her. Like Toys R Us apparently will have an exclusive that has Black Widow in her new costume, but you could only get it at Toys R Us stores. If you go to Marvel.com and go to their shop, or if you go to Disney, who is their parent company, and go to the DisneyStore.com, though, there are no Black Widow action figures. She is not on a t-shirt unless you do a custom order. She's not even part of the group shot. So if you want to buy a lunchbox for your child or a t-shirt, you will get Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, and either Hawkeye or Vision, who isn't even been on a movie yet.
Wow. I haven't even heard of Vision.
They were trying to keep him a secret. Vision a secret, so they weren't even going to say that he's in the movie, and apparently he already has action figures and stuff.
And now I'm guessing, Donna, that you're familiar with this. There was a girl recently who realized that on her video games that she had to pay extra for female characters. Are you familiar with that story? I think it was in the Washington Post, and I think there was you have to pay extra. Do you know that story, Donna?
I am not familiar with that story, but it doesn't surprise me. I know that video games have also struggled with the idea that if you're going to create a game where the player creates their own avatar, that you should probably give them the other half of the species as an option.
Why bother?
Well, no, what they were finding was they were making a significant profit because there actually are so many girls that are playing that want to have female avatars. So they were actually profiting over the fact that they were withholding that as a feature.
Oh, well, sure. Right. I mean, if you're going to exclude half the population and they want access to it, I mean, that could work either way, right?
Right.
So, of course.
Yeah. So I think we need to start making male characters.
I actually think I could make an argument for them excluding male characters, selling the video games, because probably more males play video games anyway. Their marketing campaign's a little messed up.
Yes, exactly. Donna, I think the three of us could actually work on the marketing campaign for all of this, don't you think?
We should. We should totally just take all of the boys and put them over there. They had.
Yes, we should isolate and exclude, and I think that's a good
and then
plan.
Say you have cooties, you must stay where you are.
Exactly.
So go ahead. No, you know, please, you go.
Oh, I was going to say that it's interesting what's happening with Black Widow, because this isn't the first time this has happened with Disney properties. For boys, you can't see me using air quotes because this is a podcast, but I promise they're there. early, do you guys know about Star Wars Rebels? It's the new Disney XD cartoon that is bridging the gap between episode 3, or the end of the Clone Wars cartoon and the beginning of episode 4. There are two female characters on the show. One is a bounty hunter and the other is the pilot and the leader of the team. And until maybe a month ago, neither of them had action figures. They were part of like wave 4 of the action figures. That on my Twitter, can I plug myself?
No, can you? We encourage you and would be disappointed if you didn't plug yourself on our radio show.
On my Twitter account, it's mildly amused. You have to go back in my photos, but me and my husband were at Target looking at Star Wars toys for our children. And they had a huge display of all of the Star Wars Rebels stars. So Kanan and Ezra were both prominently placed, but then they, instead of using Hera and Sabine, who are the two women, they had Darth Vader and a stormtrooper.
What? I mean, which basically for Star Wars fans, I mean, like, been there, done that, and generic at this point.
Yes. And also a huge spoiler, because it was out for months before they knew that Darth Vader was going to make a cameo on the
Right.
How frustrating.
Now, you know what's incredible, actually, about Star Wars is they don't even have a Princess Leia action figure. There's a lot of times where you can't even find a Princess Leia, especially in the newer series of movies and stuff.
I will say this, and I don't know how old everybody is in on this conversation or listening, but I had a Princess Leia doll. I mean, like, with the almost like a Barbie-type one with
you
the hair.
You comb the hair and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, you didn't want to because you didn't want to unravel the cinnamon buns. But you could if you, yeah, I actually remember, like, they had these plastic, like, the rings that you had to put them through and read, yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, carry on.
I had Princess Leia doll.
Did you have Princess Leia doll? Donna, you're jealous?
I was born in 1983, so I came in, like, at the end, like, Star Wars ended and I was born, so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. We're happy you're alive. That's a good thing.
I have a single Princess Leia action figure that, is part of the what they call the Black Series. I'm actually looking at her right now on my desk. And the Black Series is supposed to be the mid-range action figure. So it's not for people that want to collect the maquettes that cost $100, but it's not the tiny $4 ones you buy for your child.
Right.
And the only version of her that is available is her in her slave costume.
Oh, of course.
Huge issues with that entire costume concept. She's the only female we have in the universe other than Mon Mothra, and she's the leader of her people, and as soon as they stick her in that, they completely gloss over, like, some really creepy implications of what that means to be a slave to Jabba the Hutt.
Just a little bit. Right.
This is a woman who withstood a torture droid and did not break under the explosion of her home planet and would not give up her people, but something happened between when Jabba captures her and when we see her again that has scared her enough that she does not speak until she kills Jabba.
I'll tell you what happened between that, because I am old enough to remember. Between Star Wars 1 and Return of the Jedi, the Equal Rights Amendment was not passed. We are talking to Donna Dickens from HitFix. Donna, can you hang out and talk some more about some of the shows that you and I both love?
Sure.
Excellent. We're talking to Donna Dickens. Again, what's your Twitter handle?
It's mildly amused.
Mildly.
At mildly amused. More with her after this on 720 WGN. I I can't interrupt the Queen of Soul. Why would you play that song? I can't make her stop. We are looking for a little respect. We have on the line with us Donna Dickens, who is a writer for HitFix.com. We also have Dr. Daphne Scott in the studio and Craig Collins in the producer's booth taking your calls at 312-981-7200. Feel free to join the conversation anytime. Donna, thank you for hanging out a little bit longer with us.
Oh, you're welcome. This has been fun.
Oh, thank you. I was thinking about my action figures from when I was little, and I did. I had a lot. Like I had one. Okay, here are mine. Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Bionic Woman.
Yep.
And Leia again was more like a Barbie doll, because that's kind of. I mean, but you know, when you put it that way, the kind of the strength of character that she displayed throughout the first and second between Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. I mean, by the time she was in Empire Strikes Back, she was kind of a bit more of a badass.
I mean, help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. When they played that like five times.
We got a quick text message too from the 708. I bought my kids the Avengers cereal today. They only have Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Captain America in the box.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Boys can't even like look at a girl in a group of boys or they'll spontaneously combust, don't you know?
She is mildly amused. I love you, Donna. Well, and I will say, I hope that girls that had the opportunity to watch shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, as much as Buffy was a bit, you know, like also a cheerleader, but she was, again, a badass in heels.
Mm-hmm.
And Joss Whedon, who did a great job of creating that character, of creating that genre of women kicking ass, you know, I think speaks volumes for where we should be by now, you would think, with action figures.
Yes. He has done a really good job with the Black Widow character when he has directed the film.
Yes.
He can't be responsible for what the marketing department thinks their target demographic is.
Right. Yeah. I really don't know how you change that. I mean, because you would think there are enough dollars in play that bear out witness that we will buy the things that, you know, represent us, that we find important for our children, for ourselves.
It's interesting. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. There have been things that have kind of leaked out over the years. There was a creator of Disney cartoon Teen Titans who had a huge fight with Disney because they were starting to skew too female and they wanted it to be for boys. And it became like a huge problem because Disney wants princesses for girls and they wanted superheroes for boys, but boys like Frozen and girls like superheroes because we're people and not numbers on a spreadsheet.
No. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Go ahead, Donna.
The easiest way to get more Black Widow merchandise is, one, keep pestering Marvel and Disney because eventually they will hear, mm-hmm. but to also support the smaller licensees, so like Her Universe or We Love Fine or any of these smaller niche license resellers that have popped up to fill the hole in the market for merchandise featuring female characters. I don't even want to say it's merchandise for women because I don't know of a guy that wouldn't want to wear Black Widow t-shirt. Like, right. It's not just for girls.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the more the licensees realize that they can make money, the more they will ask Marvel for the rights to these characters.
Right, because it should come down to demand. That's what economics is about, supply and demand.
Wear a Black Widow t-shirt. I would.
Thank you.
I would do it totally. Like right now. And to the premiere, which I'm going to in a few weeks. I would wear my Black Widow t-shirt
there. I have to find you a Black Widow shirt, which
awesome.
I'm sure we can do.
I'm going to take my shirt off.
Oh, see? And that's the problem right there, Daphne.
Is it a Black Widow shirt?
Nope.
Okay.
Now I've lost my train of thought because you're talking about taking your clothes off. No, there was another story that we've talked about on the show with one of our favorite geeks in Chicago. Elliot Serrano talked to us about the cover of, was it called The Joke with Riddler and Batgirl? And there was some, yes, go ahead, Donna.
Do you know? No, you can finish describing it. That was just my O of dismay.
You are not mildly amused by that cover at all, are you?
No.
Describe it for us because it was a vintage cover that had been reimagined with Batgirl and you know the Joker with his arm around her and a gun to her chin, and in one version she has a tear coming streaking down her face, right?
Oh my lord.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now Batgirl has recently been revamped by the team of Cameron Stewart and Brendan Fletcher, and they are doing an amazing job with the comic, and they have re-angled it for young women. Batgirl is text savvy. Like, she is using technology. It's a really good comic. It's not the dark
She's texting.
It's not as dark as it used to be. Dark was good too, but this is, they're trying to be more inclusive for female characters and, or for women readers, and they've used that girl as one of their tent poles for this new direction along with, and the cover in question was a variant cover that was supposed to come out. And the interesting thing about the big two, DC and Marvel, is when variant covers come out, it's for the collectors. There's not very many of them. And the editorial team sometimes doesn't even know what the variant cover will be until it's released through one of the blogs, being like, here's the exclusive reveal of the cover. And the editorial team will see it at the same time as the audience.
Right.
And they had no idea this was happening. And the cover has the Joker, as you say, pointing a gun south as he has his arm wrapped around Batgirl, and he's smiling in a very menacing way, and she is terrified, and she's crying.
Right.
This is a throwback to the Killing Joke. Do we all know?
No, it was something that Ellie explained to us. I'm not familiar with the Killing Joke, but Craig's like, here we go again.
No, let's explain it again. Let's explain it again.
Yes, go ahead, Donna.
Okay, so the Killing Joke was a comic that came out a long time ago in the 90s, and it was one of the darkest comics Batman ever did. The Joker wants to drive Commissioner Gordon insane, and in part of his process of doing that is he breaks into Batgirl's house, because Barbara Gordon is the commissioner's daughter, and shoots her in the back and paralyzes her, and then removes all of her clothing and takes pictures of her in sexually suggestive positions, and it is implied that more things may have happened to her.
Right. That does definitely categorize it as dark.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. If that's not dark, then I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really a dark moment in Batgirl's history, and for a long time she was kind of shunted off to the side after that, and then she became Oracle, and she was a... she was paralyzed from the waist down, but she became a very important hacker, and she was very helpful to the Justice League and the rest of the DC heroes. But she's no longer in that dark space, and she is a lighthearted character with hope in the future. And to put that cover on there with all of the progress she has made in the comic as a survivor of sexual assault was offensive to a certain segment of the population. And it wasn't even that the cover was a throwback to this dark period of time. It was more that her facial reaction. There was a person that did a redo of the variant cover and just changed her face. She looked angry, and she was about to attack the Joker and defend herself.
Right.
And that seemed more in line with her story arc. She is no longer afraid of the Joker. I actually can recall at least one time when she beats the snot out of him. After the Killing Joke. So it's not that there was an argument that, well, she would always be afraid of him because of what happened, when if you read the comics, you know that that's not true.
Right.
So Donna, do you think that this is, you know, do you think this is really all intentional? Like, is it against women, or is this really like, do you think that this is it provocative? What do you think? I mean, what do you...
The phrase I like to use, I feel like this is background radiation. Where for a very long time, comics were a boys' club. It was very much for men, marketed to men. I know that there's arguments online that the men are just as sexualized as the women, but the women are objects and the men are power fantasies, and that's a whole other explanation. But when you have 20, 30, 40, 60 years of this is how it's done.
Yeah.
It just kind of gets ingrained, and it's a very difficult mindset to unlearn. And I don't think that, I would say 97% of the people in the comics industry, in the movie industry, do not think, they don't wake up in the morning and like twirl their misogyny mustache and be like, yeah. No girls allowed.
Right. That was sort of my point.
I so need a misogyny mustache.
I mean, that was sort of my point, was that, you know, is it that we've been sort of this has been so inculcated into us, we don't even realize that we're doing it. Is it intentional? Is it to be provocative? Are we trying, you know, what?
Well, and to that, Donna and Daphne, I think that's why guys get so defensive when we say, hey, this is something where we don't like this representation. This is a lack of respect. And because it's so a part of, you know, how the way we've been raised or what we've been exposed to, that they get, what? There's nothing wrong with the way I think. What are you talking about? You're just being, maybe you're being too defensive.
Yeah. You're so sensitive.
They put it back on us.
And right.
Donna, I've never understood why you can't say, hey, excuse me, this bothers me. And no one, like, people have a tough time saying, oh, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I think particularly in nerd spaces, it's because nerd is king now. We've won. Like, we've been battling to win since the dawn of time. The jocks were beating us into the dirt. And now, you know, if you play video games, if you watch nerdy movies, look at all of the nerd television there is on Netflix and ABC. Everyone's clamoring to do geeky things, and we've won. But now that we've won, all of the people that used to ostracize geekdom have invaded, there's air quotes again, invaded geek space, and it feels like an attack to people that thought that this was theirs.
Yes.
Very much like, this was mine, and you can't have it. And there's this belief by a subset of geeks, particularly geek men, that it is a finite resource. That if women come in, if minorities come in and take these characters, that somehow the characters will stop existing for them as well. That it's like coal. Eventually we're going to run out of it and they're not going to have any left. And it's not the way that works, but...
You know, what's interesting to that point that you make is I think last year we started to hear a lot of stories about Comic-Con and other nerd events, I'm using quotes, and how women were getting assaulted or at least getting verbally abused at some of these events. And some of them at first said, you know, don't worry about it, as opposed to let's stop doing this. Some of the first responses by the organizations were, this is something you should expect if you come dressed as this type of superhero or something.
Right, or as Princess Leia in her slave costume.
Right, which is hilarious because the idea is that these women are being harassed for accurately cosplaying these characters that men have created as fantasies. It's such a strange snake eating its own tail kind of thing, because if the girl, it's a catch-22, if the girl dresses completely like Slave Leia, well, then clearly she's asking for it. But if she wants to dress as Slave Leia but wear a bodysuit, or if she wants to wear a Slave Leia, like, short dress, and then she's a fake geek and she didn't actually want to be the character. So there's a very slim margin of error for the so-called gatekeepers.
We're all asking for it then, basically.
Yeah, there's no way to win.
Everyone.
One more question before we break here. Is the same standard, does that apply to men who do cosplay? Or are they allowed to be just sort of like, you know, let their guts hang out and their pants hang too low and not quite, you know, they don't quite fit in their costumes? I'm just saying, there are some people who don't
look. I don't want to see that.
I mean, I feel that anybody that wants to cosplay can cosplay, but you see very significantly less beefcake than you do cheesecake. And that's always what I say is, like, ladies, we don't want to, like, gentlemen, the ladies do not want to take your cheesecake. You can have it. We just also want some beefcake. We just want to objectify Nightwing and not feel like,
I know, I'm laughing because Craig, I think his lung almost imploded.
Yeah, no,
he was laughing.
I agree.
Yes.
Wholeheartedly. I am going to go as Arrow to C2E2, and I have to not wear a shirt because that's what Arrow does, and I'm not ripped, but yeah, I'll bring a friend who's a lot hotter.
You can pull it off, Craig.
I'll bring a friend who's physically attractive, and then we'll be fine. I'll bring a beefcake.
You could always crossplay. Crossplay is always fun.
Oh!
What's crossplay?
Yeah, what's that?
This is my favorite. Crossplay is when you deconstruct the sexualization of female characters by having the male dress as the woman. So, like, I would go as Marcello, and my husband would go in the Slave Leia costume.
I need that to happen more often. I've seen that. I have seen those pictures. Yeah. I love that.
I think I just did that yesterday.
I'm going as Black Widow now to C2E2. Changed mine.
That's who I was for Halloween last year, by the way. I was Black Widow.
That's right.
Because I have the wig. That's why I did that.
I'm going to go as Yoda.
I like that. What do you dress up as, Donna? Do you have a costume that you like to wear?
a couple of years ago, I went to New York Comic Con as a Lady Loki. I made the did the hat out of craft foam. I did. It was very steampunk because what's not to love about steampunk? With nice. The corset and the green that I converted. But that was honestly the last year that I cosplayed at a Comic Con because I'm pressed. And it's amazing how much the publicist will think that you are lost and not supposed to be at an event if you are in costume. They'll think that you're a crazed fan that has accidentally or purposely snuck past the barriers.
Oh, dear. I have to, Donna, we could keep you so long, but I want to tease people and invite you back and talk more about this and other things that we share in common and our interests, both superheroes and just, you know, a lot of different shows. I'm trying to learn how to watch Game of Thrones. There's a lot of mud. I'll be honest with you. I tried watching, this is my thing. I know this sounds crazy. Everyone always looks damp and smelly. That's when I watch that show.
It's medieval.
I know.
That's all it did.
I know it, but everyone loves it.
I can tell you anything you want to know about Game of Thrones. I watched the show. I've read the books twice. I have actually got sitting on my desk, I'm looking at it right now, is the official World of Ice and Fire, which is the 10,000 year history of Westeros, complete with color-coded post-it notes based on House.
What?
Oh my God. I want to know what she thinks. We can't ask her. We got to take a break, but I want to know what she thinks about the spoilers that happened in the TV show that might have spoiled the books.
All right, let's do that.
Next time?
You want to do it next time, or do you want to come back and really quick hit that?
Okay. I want to know.
Donna, can you hold on for just a couple minutes?
Yeah.
And I swear this will be it. We're all like just so greedy for Donna Dickens. You can follow her on Twitter at Mildly Amused and find her on HitFix after this, 720 WGN. Because we can't get enough of Donna Dickens, we've asked her to come back, and I'm just going to assume that she says yes. Did I wait for your answer, Donna?
You did, actually.
Okay, thank you. Because Craig wanted to talk to you quickly about Game of Thrones.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, she wrote a great piece about how the TV show may have already spoiled things. We're two episodes in. It may have already spoiled things in the books. Donna, tell us what happened, if you can.
If you don't want spoilers, abandon hope, leave. The
earmuffs right now.
Yes. Spoiler. Three, two, one. You had your chance. Go ahead.
Okay. So in the House of Black and White last night, we have already reached the end point with Sansa Stark. We are off the map with her storyline. Everything that is happening to her now is not happening to her in the books. We are nearly to the end of Jon Snow's storyline in the books. Mance Rayder was killed in the last episode, and he is still alive in the books. Brienne of Tarth has met neither of the Stark girls in the books, and she has met both of them now on the show. Jaime Lannister never goes to Dorne in the books, or if he does, it happens in the next book, and that would make it a ginormous spoiler.
Wow.
Daenerys Targaryen has not killed the son of the Harpy in the book, and if the riots that are about to break out at the end of this episode happen, they happen in the Winds of Winter. And is a giant spoiler.
Wow.
And how long have these books been out? How big of a spoiler would this be for someone that's been reading the books? How many years have you been reading these books for?
We have been waiting. Let's see. A Dance with Dragons, I think, came out 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. George R. R. Martin writes very slowly because he has a lot of projects going on. And Game of Thrones is an intense series of books. It is basically, if you took the War of the Roses, added magic, and then Shake Vigorously.
That's great.
He's written houses for the Lannisters or the Lancasters, the Yorks or the Starks, the Baratheons or the Tudors, and then the show doesn't, obviously, because HBO has a finite amount of time and people don't want a history lesson, but at the back of every Game of Thrones book, there is a huge index of all of the houses, all the way down through the major houses, the minor houses, the bannermen, and who's in charge of who and who's married to who. And it's just this big interconnected knot of nonsense that all fits together perfectly like a puzzle. And it's terrifying that he can write all this and keep it straight.
Wow. it sounds very, very, very complicated. And maybe if I don't, well, it's too late. I don't think that I'm ever going to catch up. I'm trying to jump in now, and it's very confusing.
I gave up after her first sentence.
There was it's very complicated. But we're glad that we have Donna Dickens from HitFix.com to guide us through this. And I know that Craig is as excited as I am to have you back as soon as possible. So we will gear up for that and work that out. Again, it's at Mildly Amused on Twitter. Is that right? Thank you so much, Donna, for your time and for wonderful just your insight into all these topics that we've talked about. And we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be on.
Thank you. We look forward to it again.